Blog Talk Radio.
And now I present to you that International Bible Teacher of Teachers, Seer Israel of Seed Royal. He will utter dark things and mysteries which have been kept from the foundation of the world, showing us the way to go. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
With your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name.
Hallelujah.
And now I present to you that International Bible Teacher of Teachers, Seer Israel of Seed Royal. He will utter dark things and mysteries which have been kept from the foundation of the world, showing us the way to go. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
And now, Voices of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live, Yahuwah's Radio, bottom part of the Sabbath day. Worldwide. International radio broadcast, Yahuwah's Radio, bottom of the Sabbath day, featuring Yahuwah's voices of the true Israelites. I be your host for the bottom part of the Sabbath day by name, your seer, Israel, of Seed Royal. This is the bottom part of the Sabbath day, and all the camps is ready to go, all the six anointed camps ready to go. And Yahuwah be with you all. And remember one thing, we are non-violent, peaceful, Bible-based ministry up on the YHWH ministry, Yahuwah. And we're not anti-anybody. We are peaceful ministry. Our ministry is, we ordained to take care of one business, unlocked the minds of the 12 tribes of Israel that scattered to come back to the laws, statutes, and the commandments. That is our mission. And we're not anti anybody, any group. We're not affiliated with any group. We're not tied in with no other ministry than the Six Anointed Camps. We don't play second, third, fourth fiddle to nobody. We are the lead tribe. We behind the four-letter man called Yahuwah. This is a live broadcast by the part of Sabbath Day. This is the 8th month, the 31st day, 2024 class already in session. And we got the young lion doing his teaching. And no doubt about it, so we're going to bring you in, let you continue to hear what's going on in the bottom part of the Sabbath Day at Camp 1. So remember one thing, this day the Almighty made for me and you, so enjoy your Sabbath Day. We've done the top part, now we're doing the bottom part, and Yahuwah be with you all. Class already in session since 12 o'clock on Pal Talk. Now we're coming live on Blog Talk Radio. So the young lion already taking care of business, and Yahuwah be with you all and continue.
All right.
Look what it says about E.T. right here. Look at this.
All right. Look at verse 19. John chapter 2 and verse 19. Yahweh's son answered and said unto them.
Now, think about verse 18. Let's see what's going on here. What the conversation going on. Think about verse 18.
John chapter 2 and verse 18. Then answered the Jews, which is a correct word for Judah, and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things?
Verse 19.
Verse 19. And Yahweh's son answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up.
See, he's not going, you see, he's talking spiritual. He's not talking to our colonel about a building, man.
Verse 20. Then said the Jews, which is a corrupt word for Judah,
now
46 years was this temple in building, and would thou rear it up in 3 days?
Would thou rear it up in 3 days? Go ahead.
21. But he spake of the temple of his body.
So the temple talking about his body. His body. That was the temple talking about. His body.
So you have one.
All right, real quick, brother Nehemiah Israel. All right. Let's go to, let's see what I want real quick. All right. I'm going to entangle that real quick. We'll come back to that. All right. So we know what we're talking about is body. Okay, we read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, right? Verse 19 and 20. All right. Give me real quick. And go to, all right. Give me 2 Corinthians. For the 2 Corinthians. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Pick it up at verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16.
Second Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of Yahweh with idols? For you are the temple of the living Yahweh, as Yahweh has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their Yahweh, and they shall be my people.
Okay, and I will dwell in them and walk in them. And they will walk in them. And how you walk in them, Brother Nehemiah Israel? How you walk in them?
That we can read.
How you walk in there?
That we can read.
And go to the Lord John in the back of the book, Brother Nehemiah Israel. This is how you walk. This is what you got to walk in. Like on this side today. And we're walking now. Hey, so we know there ain't going to be no cakewalk.
2 John 1 and 6.
You going to say 2 John 1 and 6?
Yes.
And we got one.
And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it.
You should walk in it. If you heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. That's right. That's how you walk gotta be. That's how you walk gotta be. You should walk in it. That's how you walk gotta be. Gonna get my head real. That's how you walk gotta be. Alright, come on, brother. you doing? You're going back to religions right now. How you doing? How you doing, brother?
That's how you walk out of things. All right. So what it says here, let's see, Acts. We'll come back to that. Now we're going to come to Acts real quick. All right. Every time I check you out, right there, my Israel, the Lord, matter of fact, I'm going to be told us all. Go ahead and take care of that real quick. All right, I know I was holding Ezekiel. You please set that Leviticus, take care of that Leviticus, okay, read 5:1-17. Let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 3. Go ahead and clear this up real quick. Okay, go ahead, Ezekiel chapter 3. All right. Give me verse 19. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 19.
Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 19. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity to sin, but thou hast delivered thy soul.
But thou hast delivered your soul. And we're interchangeable for soul real quick, Brother Nehemiah. Let's go to, hold what you got. He's going to use these words here, two words here, in Genesis. Go to the book of Genesis real quick. Take your time, take your time. All right, give me Genesis chapter 2 real quick. Genesis chapter 2. All right, pick it up at verse 7. All right, take notes on Brother Nehemiah Israel.
Genesis chapter
2. This was early in the week. About this, that's why you never know what's going to come up. All right, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7.
Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And the Yahuwah formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
So before he breathed man, he became a living soul. He was a what kind of soul? A dead soul. So body, man, he is a soul.
That's right. Yes. Body, man, is a soul. In the end time? All right. Now, real quick, Brother Nehemiah. Let's see what's going on here real quick. All right. Let's touch on this real quick. Let's go to get word up here real quick. Can he take a note, Brother Nehemiah Israel? Can we go to Job real quick? We're going to go to Job chapter 12, verse 10. Book of Job chapter 12, verse 10.
Job chapter 12 and verse 10. In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind.
Can you see that? There's a breath. That man, that breath, you got that breath, it's changeable. All right. Real quick. All right, let's go to real quick, Brother Nehemiah Israel. Let's go to
the Psalms real quick. I never see that in the Psalms.
15. and all flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn again unto dust.
And man shall turn again unto dust. Right now, that's where the dust at. The ground on earth, that's where the dust at. And where's the poor at? Where's the person poor? When he was reading, he had to go to some see all the tears, check back, was written in the law. That's what they do. They check back, was written in the law. This is what he was doing. This is the precept of Brother Jeremiah, Genesis 3:19. Genesis 3:19.
Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. Genesis 3:19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return.
You see that? Yeah. That dust. Now where that dust? Now where that dust there? Look what it says here real quick. You know what on that real quick? Go to Wisdom of Solomon. We're going to go to Wisdom of Solomon now, Brother Nehemiah's word. Go to book of Wisdom of Solomon. Let's see. We're going to Wisdom of Solomon, Brother Nehemiah's will. Give me Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 15, verse 11.
Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 15, and verse 11. For as much as he knew not his maker, and him that inspired into him an active soul and breathed in a living spirit.
Read that again. Read that verse again.
Wisdom of Solomon 15 and verse 11. For as much as he knew not his maker.
Hold your mouth and then we're coming back. Who's he talking about? Who his maker is? Who's this? His maker. Who is this he talking about? His maker. Knew not his maker. Who is his maker, real quick? Hold what you got. Let's go to real quick who his maker is, real quick. We'll get the name real quick. Let's go to the book of Jeremiah. We're going to Jeremiah real quick. Book of Jeremiah. Let's see. Let's see what his maker is real quick. Who his maker is. We're going to book of Jeremiah. We'll get the name of who his maker is real quick. Who his maker is. We'll get the name of who his maker is. We'll get a name. Who his maker is. For the book of Jeremiah. The maker. For the book of Jeremiah. Get a name of who his maker is. Come on now, I'm picking up in Isaiah real quick. I'm going to get it through Isaiah. Get a name of who his maker is real quick. Knew not his maker. Right? Knew not his maker. All right. I'm going to get out of Isaiah real quick. About what our maker is real quick. going to get it out of Isaiah real quick. All right. Okay, go in the book of Isaiah real quick. Go in the book of Isaiah. Look at one up there. Give me Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah 45. Pick up that thing real quick. Isaiah 45, pick it up that verse 8. Give me time.
Isaiah 45 and verse 8. Drop down ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Yahweh, have created it.
Okay. satisfy that verse when it said, Yahweh, remember that we were dust. I remember seeing that verse. And let me tell you one time, you know, I was real quick. All right. I'm going to check out that verse real quick. All right, go ahead. Okay, so we read Ecclesiastes in chapter 12. And then the soul, the breath.
Psalm 103:14.
Okay, Psalm 103:14. All right, you got something? Then you got... Well, I got something. I got a precept.
You got
God
on
the line. All right. All right, y'all probably here. Brother, y'all probably as well as seen the room. Go to Yahweh Israel, Yahweh Jewish. Go to Yahweh Israel. Are you there?
Yes.
Yahweh be with you, Spirit Israel, all sea royal.
Hello, Yahweh. Hello, Yahweh.
Yahweh.
All right. What you got? You got some? What you holding on, buddy?
Yahweh. righteousness, what you have done shall not be remembered.
So everything you have did in the past, whatever you did, is not going to be even remembered for it.
But
the blood
will not require at his hand.
And I'm going to require the blood at his hand. So when a righteous man turn away, a righteous woman turn away from law, statutes, and commandments, I don't care how much time they got in, Yahweh said, I ain't going to remember it no more. It's how I catch you when I catch you down. So you can have 60 years in the ministry. Then all of a sudden you go contrary to the law, statutes, and commandments, I'm going to judge you on that day. I'll give you your last 5 years to be prepared. So you can't go on seniority in Yahweh's word. It's not what you did in the past. It's what you're doing now. Because mankind is what? Give me 7 verse 6 of St. John. Give me 7 verse 6. What is mankind?
From the John, chapter 7. Verse 6. Hear y'all by the Son. Listen to this. My time has not yet come. But your time is always ready.
And your time is always ready. See, never forget that. That's why you got to find yourself doing Yahweh's word. When he shuts you down, make sure you're doing his word. Your seniority, or how long you've been doing it, doesn't matter. It's when Yahweh shuts you down, what happened in the last 5 years? Was you doing Yahweh's business, or was you doing your own business? To keep that in your mind. World is seniority. Yahweh is how he shut you down. So make sure your last 5 years, and you don't know when your last 5 years is, now you are doing Yahweh's word. There is nothing about seniority.
That's right.
We're not doing this word when he shuts you down. You're going to be waking up in the wrong direction, in the wrong place that you're going. Back to Paul Titus.
All right. Let's get that on the table. That about that 5 years. See, these books have been taken out. See, they're not going to touch on books like The Vision of Paul Saul. They're not going to touch on that because they know it's not canon. You know? But it started with us first. Then, it's like as far as that goes up, the apocrypha. All right. Real quick. We go on to the vision. Matter of fact, let's get the intro real quick. Vision of Paul, Saul, the apostle. Real quick, running there by Israel. Let's go to Corinthians real quick. Let's bring Saul in real quick. But make that 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Put it at verse 1. We're gonna bring Paul in.
It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Yahweh.
We'll come to the visions and the revelation of Yahweh. Now this Paul right. Okay, go ahead, verse 2.
Verse 2. I knew a man in Yahweh's son about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I could not tell. Or whether out of the body, I could not tell. Yahweh. Such an one called to the third heaven.
The third heaven. Called up to the third heaven. Go ahead, verse 3.
Verse 3. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I could not tell. Yahweh knows.
But he was caught. So what happened again, our brother Nehemiah?
He was caught
called the third heaven. I wonder who is that is in record, according to Acts chapter 1, Brother Titus. Pick it around my verse number and find out who is this he's talking about. He knew, but he was caught up to the third heaven. So who was this? Who was this little priest of it? Let's find out who was this caught up to the third heaven that we can read of. Brother Titus. Let's see who we're talking about in Acts chapter 1. And Dr. Yahweh, I have me put around this. Have me what I want. Well, I don't know yet. Have me, right now, who was caught to the third heaven in Acts chapter 1, Brother Titus? Let's see who was caught up to make it read. And matter of fact, what statement was made to get the conversation going in 1 verse 6?
How the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 6. And when they therefore will come together, they asked of him, saying, Yahweh, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?
Mm-hmm. So the chief speaker of the nation of Israel want to know, are you going to restore the kingdom again to Israel? So once upon a time, the 12 tribes of Israel had their own kingdom that they have been got away from today. But that's another lesson. Skip down to verse number 9, let's see what it says in verse 9. 9 to 11.
Verse 9 to 11. Verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, by the air, he was taken up.
Yes.
And a cloud was seized him out of their sight.
Let's keep reading following. Where was he taken up to? We're going to find out where was he taken up to in verse 10.
Verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly, toward heaven. As he went up, behold, look, two men stood by him in white apparel.
What did he say in verse 11?
Verse 11. Which also said, ye men of Galilee.
Ye men of Galilee.
Ye men of Galilee.
Lord.
Why stand ye gazing up?
Lord.
Unto heaven.
Lord.
This same Yahweh the Son.
The same, just the same Yahweh. The way you see him going up, the same Yahweh the Son,
which is taken up,
from you,
unto heaven.
Unto heaven. So, the same Yahweh, the way you see him, in the flesh, that's why he returned. So make sure you understand the way he was walking around with the children of Israel in the flesh. That's how he gonna come back. Matter of fact, brother, let's make it plain because we might have in our mind thinking somebody would come as a spook. He gonna come the same way he was walking in the body of the group. Hey, daughter Yahweh see you have seen ready.
Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel of Sea Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Let's take a look at this same Yahweh and find out when he do come back, what is he going to look like? Because the same Yahweh you see him go up is the same one coming down. Let's go to Micah chapter 5, 1, 2, and 3. Our daughter Yahweh. Let's find out about this same Yahweh we see him go up. And so let's see when he was here. What did it look like when he was here? Micah chapter 5, 1, 2, 3. What did it look like, daughter? Come on.
The book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 1, 2, and 3. Verse 1 reads, O gather thyself in truth, O daughter of truth. He have laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. Verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, thou, though thou be a little among the thousands of Yahshua Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Verse 3, therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth have brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel.
All right.
That's how he comes. That's how he comes.
Jeremiah, chapter 14, verse 2. Verse 2 reads, Yahdah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish. They are black unto the ground. And the cry of Yahdah is gone up. Black.
Lamentation. Give me Lamentation chapter 4.
Lamentations chapter 4. Lamentations chapter 4. Look at that verse 8.
Lamentations chapter 4.
And verse 8.
The visage
was darkened and cold. There were no man in the streets, and his skin clung to the bone, and his woman, he was a gun like a stick.
Alright, what is this visage? What is that visage mean?
The skin.
Alright, so for edifying, real quick, Google the word vision on your phone real quick.
But what do you mean by they not known in the streets?
Well, why they not known on the streets?
Give me that 65 verse 15 by Isaiah. Why they not known in the streets?
Why is they not known in the streets?
Hey, God of Yahweh, give me that 65 verse 15. He says, they not known in the streets,
darling, y'all, bro.
Why, darling? Isaiah 65, verse 15. Why is they not known in the streets, darling?
The book of Isaiah, chapter 55. 65.
Isaiah 65, verse 15. Why if the children of Israel is not known in the streets? Isaiah 65, verse 15. Daughter Yahweh, why is they not known? Come on.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 65, verse 15. Verse 15 reads.
65. Isaiah 65, verse 15.
Right. 65, verse 15. And you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen. Isaiah chapter 65 verse 15. And you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen. For the Yahweh shall slay thee and call his servant by another name.
You say the reason why you're not known in the streets, you will leave your name and you'll pick up a curse name. And Yahweh said he's going to beat your back until you put that curse name down. You're not known because you're on a curse. And where that coming from? Where that pull that daughter, Yahweh? We're going to 28 chapter, verse 30, Yahweh 7 of Deuteronomy. Let's see what name you will be called. Deuteronomy 28, verse 37. You're going to leave your name for a curse name. Let's find out what name you will, and where that prophecy comes from. Where that verse pull from? 28, 37.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 37. Verse 37 reads, and thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whether the Yahweh shall lead you.
Oh, you will be a byword. You will be called by another name. You will not be called by your biblical genealogy name, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. You will be called a byword. And what big byword that you will be called that you will love for a curse? What byword that your name you will be called and you will answer quicker than you answer about being a member of the 12 tribes of Israel? What name are you going to be answered to before you answer to your biblical name? Come on, daughter. Pull it out for the national order in 1126. Just pull it out in 1126. And you pull it out in 1126. We're going at 1126. Let's find out what your five words and what name turn it
all the way down there, you know what I mean? All right, then bag it on up. So now, in Acts chapter 11, it says you're going to leave your man for a curse. You're going to be a byword upon every nation you go upon them. You'll be called everything with the name. And what's the number one byword you're going to be called? We're going to find out the number one byword that Daughter Yahweh is going to read before the national is over 9,000 strong. What byword you're going to answer to before you answer to your Yahweh name? 11:26. Come on there, daughter. Bring it out, daughter.
The book of Acts.
The book of Acts.
The book of Acts, chapter 11, verse 26. Verse 26 reads, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the congregation of the children of Israel and taught much people. And the followers were called Christians first in Antioch.
Hey, that's what they were called, what? They
Christian.
Were called what, daughter?
Christian first in Antioch.
So when you got 300 miles outside of the southern kingdom, you were kept named what in Antioch? You left your name
Christian.
For a byword, and they gave you what name, daughter?
Christian.
Christianity. So there it is right there. So you were answer. You were after saying, I'm a Christian, before you after say I'm a biblical Israelite. 99% of those you come in contact with will say, you said, what's your nationality? Well, I'm a Christian. See that? So you have left your name for a curse, and that's why you're not known in the streets, because you're upon a curse name, a title called Christian and Christianity. Back to the young line. All right. All right, on that question here real quick, you got historical facts on this question. And this is what we do. All right, got some historical facts here real quick. On this first question here, Brother Nehemiah, we're going to read something real quick. This word Christian, where it come from? All right. No matter how the way is, we got it in whether it's Latin, French, or Greek, real quick. All right. Let's read this here. This historical fact here real quick. On this word Christian. Christian here real quick. All right. Pick it up real quick right here. You're going to read something here. All right. Christian. The origin of that. Okay, you read it from Madoc Ford Dictionary, off of English Dictionary. Okay, go ahead. This is, starting right here real quick. Late 18th, pick it up right there.
Late 18th century, from French, Christian.
Creighton?
Creighton.
That is got it in French, real quick. Go ahead.
Swiss, French.
Christian, go ahead.
Christian.
And you got
from Latin.
From Latin, right? Go ahead.
Christian in the U.S. here used from Latin Christian. Here used to mean human being apparently as a reminder, being apparently as a reminder though they be foreign. Christians were human and not beasts.
So they talk about humans here real quick. Look at the text here. I'm going to meet it right here. Pick it up, read it what it says in this.
A stupid person.
Hello.
It says I'm thankful, a stupid person, a stupid person.
Okay. Go ahead.
Used as a general term of a prince.
So we read this from what?
Four Manners, 1873 to 1939.
1939. Look what it also says here. They got another meaning for it. There you go.
A person who is physically deformed and has learning difficulties because of congenital thyroid deficiency.
And patients, provide a view with me. If you call yourself a Christian, look what it says here. This is what it says here in Latin.
It's creation, special term, mental, disability, retarded, stupidity, and idiot.
So you call yourself a what?
A Christian.
And what is what's the meaning of that Christian?
Stupid, dumb, mental, retarded, and stupidity.
Yeah. So you call yourself stupid, dumb, mental disability, and idiot. Stupidity, and idiot. See that there?
And where are you reading that document from?
From the Ford Dictionary, Oxford English Dictionary, 1857 to 1884.
Always make sure you put your star out there first.
See that there? You see? And that's what we is. You see how we call ourselves stupidity, dumb, or Christian. You see that there? Well, I'm a Christian. I'm stupid, dumb, an idiot. I'm an idiot. You see that there? As a matter of fact, who is there there? The Lord said, real quick.
And why are you reading
it
from again?
Why are you reading it from again? I'm reading from the Ford, a Maddox Ford Dictionary, Oxford, the English Dictionary. So don't get mad at anybody. Get mad at the author who put on the table. We don't want to read what they put on the table. Then you know what the origin of the word Christian comes from. So if you are a Christian, this is the first meaning of being a Christian. And when the children of Israel become a Christian, they don't melt their name for a curse name. Back to the name of the Lord.
Here we are, bro. All right. You call that? And what else name we got over here? We got African American. Let's see who came up with that. Who came up with that? Let's see who came up with the term African American. You'd be surprised, but ain't surprised to us at all. Of the ones of the twins of life. All right, Yahuwah. Oh, Yahuwah. All right. Let's see where that comes from. Who originated? Word African American. All right, let's bring something here real quick. Let's see what this came from. Read what you got. So, who originated the word African American? All right, pick it up right here, real quick. Let's start reading something. Just verify.
The term African American has been used since at least the early days of the U.S. But the first known occurrence of the term is print in the abolitionist newspaper in
1835.
1835,
go ahead.
However, a researcher discovered a printed reference in 1782. And Tyburn Sermon that credits the term of an anonymous African American. Before the term African American was used, African Americans referred to themselves as Africans. However, after the founding of the American Colonization Society, we sought to forcibly export black people from the U.S., black Americans were banned the term African. In 1988, Reverend Justice Gerald Jackson Sr. suggested that black Americans should be called African Americans to create a last ethnic
Yeah. You see that? Go ahead a little bit more. So we know Jesse Jackson had his hand in as well too. Go ahead.
The term African American seems to be a product of recent decades, exploding into common usage in the 1990s. After a push from advocates like Jesse Jackson, the term was enshrined in the Oxford English Dictionary in 2001.
Ain't that something? See, that's how. So he the one came up. He the one came up with that. African American, that byword. You see that there?
Where y'all from?
That's where that come from. That term African American. That's what come up with that term. So Jesse Jackson had his head in. So the African American, you think Jesse Jackson for that? You thank him for that. They gonna leave your name for a curse, African American. And matter of fact, the term African is the. All right, the term African. Let's see what that comes from. Let's have a chase real quick. Edify. Who invented the word African? All right. Who invented the word African? Is all right.
Neil Scipio Africanus. There's a microphone.
Just say the mic.
While Africa was named after Roman general Scipio Africanus.
Scipio
Africanus. During the Punic Wars, the name Africa may come from Latin Africa, surname, or from a Greek aspect without code. Douglas Cornelius Scipio received nickname Africanus.
Scipio.
Douglas Cornelius Scipio received the nickname Africanus after his victory in Africa during the Second Punic War against Hannibal.
Now we get that term African. Neo Scipio Africanus. Neo Scipio Africanus. As you get that term from.
Okay, now let's edify the national audience. Now by Ernesto, so
we know that word. So what word is supposed to go down? The people over there, since that word was given to them in 202 BCE, then what word was there? Because it is a nickname that Big Gentleman just got to read. So what was the name there that we should read before they got to a byword on them? So what was the name we should read out of the Bible that man was called Camilla? Everybody, give me 49:11 from Exalted Yahweh. Give me Psalm 49:11.
Yahweh.
49:11. See, this is how you build up some things. And so what we're trying to do is build up this 6 and 1 council, really enlighten the Bible study class with precepts. 49:11. What it says, daughter, a Yahweh.
The book of Psalms, chapter 49, verse 11. Verse 11 reads, this their way is their folly. Yet their posterity approve their saying. I apologize. That's the wrong scripture. That's my error.
49.
Psalm chapter 49, verse 11. Verse 11 reads, their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their land after their own name.
So you call a land after your own name. So the name of Africa came by the big Romans giving him a nickname, Africanus, for conquering that area. So go back and read again, young brother Nehemiah. What was his name first, and how did he get the name Africa? How did you get it again? Listen real good. And then, but see, we have to recognize when Satan has got up in there. And because whatever land you're in, you call after the name, you put your name on that land. So that name, Africa, came by what reason again, that brother?
Of Judges, chapter 19, verse 29. Verse 29 reads, and when he was gone, and when he was coming to his house, he took a knife.
Whoa, whoa.
The book of Judges, chapter 18, verse 29. Verse 29 reads, And they called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan their father, who was born unto Israel. Howbeit, the name of the city was Laish at the first.
So when you migrate to a land, you call the land after your father. So wherever your father is, that's where you put your name, the land. So you call the land after their name, after their father's name. So the father is the one that carries the line, and he also carries the name. So when you call yourself African, African American, that means you call yourself saying your father is the sons of Esau, the white man and the white woman. So you know you left your name for a curse. So when you identify yourself as African American, African, you are left your name for a curse name because you got your name after your father. Unless we know Cynthia Africana is your bloodline grandfather, then you're all good. But if it's not, then you left your name for a curse. So what was the name of that land before it? Hey, dog, we're going to Psalm 78, dog. And we're going to find out what was the name of the land. This is Bible study class. See, Bible study class, you got to hear the tenor of the conversation, dog. And then you move by the tenor of the conversation. When you get in with precepts, so we go on to Psalm 78, daughter of Yahweh. And what we're trying to find out is what was the name put on that land before Hannibal, the sons of Esau, jumped the people and put his name there. So daughter, we in Psalm 78, and we're going to verse 51. So, what is that in Psalm 78, verse 51, brother? Let's talk about it, brother, about the, what you're going to call yourself by the land to the African American. What will be called by them people in 78, 51? What is that, Donnie Yahweh? Come on.
The book of Psalms, chapter 78, verse 51. Verse 51 reads, and smote all the firstborn of Mizraim, the chief of their strength, in the tabernacles of Ham.
Oh, in the tabernacles of Ham. So when you see the word African, what's supposed to go there again, darling?
Ham.
Ham. How about a precept on that, brother? How about going to Psalm 105? See, if we can get the young lions, hey, dog, if we can get the young lions to stroke that boat, right, we can lay back and just pop the nail. And see, that's what we got, that's what we're trying to do. And we see the producer is taking notes and Grant's job, but somebody, the producer got to come step to the plate and get a hand and help with these young lions get this thing in order. So now, the director, the producer. 105, think of verse 23. What do you say, darling?
The book of Psalms, chapter 105. The book of Psalms, chapter 105, verse 23. Verse 23 reads, Israel also came into Mizraim, and Israel sojourned in the land of Ham.
And Israel also came into Egypt. And Israel sojourned in the land of Ham. The land of Ham. Verse 27, Darby Yahweh, just a little.
Psalm 105:27 reads, they showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham.
In the land of Ham. You see that story up, bro? That's why we got to step it up. We got to step it up, bro. So when they call themselves African Americans and whatever, that is a curse for the children of the book. But really, it's a double curse on them, because people that's supposed to be called, that's called Africans, supposed to be called the sons of Ham. And how many songs do Ham have, daughter Yahuwah, Genesis 10 verse 6? How many songs that he has anyway, Ham? And every last one, last name is what this daily is. So in Genesis 10 verse 6, we talk about it, boys.
The book of Genesis, chapter 10, verse 6. Verse 6 reads, and the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim, and Put, and Canaan.
And Canaan. So all these four boys carry the name of Ham. Ham means black. And Ham means slavery. Egypt is a byword and a byword. Because nobody, he named none of his sons Egypt. Then he had a Genesis for a daughter. Hey, daughter, I don't see him calling no one of his sons Egypt. Is that the birth of Genesis? No. Egypt only means slavery. It means 1:14 of the book called A Daughter Yahuwah. And 1:14 of Genesis, what do Egypt mean to you? 1:14, what do you mean, daughter? Of the book of Exodus. Exodus 1:14, what do the word Egypt mean to the children of Israel? When they see that word reading the Bible, what do it mean to them? 1:14. 3:13 to make it sound good. 1:13 and 14, daughter of Yahuwah, beloved.
The book of Exodus, chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Verse 13 reads, and the Mizraimites and the Egyptians, which is a polluted word for Mizraim, made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. Verse 14. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage.
So Egypt means to Israel, what kind of bondage does daughter Yahuwah, what kind of bondage?
Hard bondage.
Hard bondage. So when you see the word Egypt in the Bible, what it means to the children of Israel is what kind of bondage does daughter Yahuwah?
Hard bondage.
How about a precept on that, daughter? With precept, we get our understanding. See, when we can get the young lines to precept from this good stuff, then the field can just ride back on another day and then go and put a petition in according to 26:15-19 and say, Yahuwah, things are got it now. They struggle that book right. Isaiah 14:1-3, forever. Daughter Yahuwah, come on. Isaiah 14:1-3.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 14, verse 1 and 3. Verse 1 reads, for the Yahuwah will have mercy on Israel and will yet choose Israel and set Israel, the Israelites, in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with the Israelites, and they shall cleave to the children of Israel. Verse 3, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 3 reads, and it shall come to pass. Verse 3, and it shall come to pass In the day that Yahuwah shall give the Israelites rest from their sorrow, from thy fear, and from the hard bondage wherein the Israelites was made to serve.
Hey, that something, daughter Yahuwah. So Yahuwah said to the children of Israel, sir, what kind of bondage, daughter, with a precept? What kind of bondage?
Hard bondage.
Hard bondage. So why would you have somebody take you on a trip to go back to Egypt when your father and his mother was up on? What kind of bondage, daughter?
Hard bondage.
Hard bondage. You ain't got nothing to do with that land. All that is slavery to you. And the slavery to you is hard bondage. So since we know that, as already the Bible is no novel, no, it's not a novel. So when we go read 2868, with all that knowledge that we have bound out so far, daughter, so now when we finally read 2868, we can understand exactly what's going on right now. Now we can really up the Bible study class by properly reading Deuteronomy 2868, and all the chapters can follow our lead. Now they can understand how to really read that verse now. Now you can really read that verse to know exactly who you're talking about when you go to Deuteronomy 28, verse 68. But what we just learned now, daughter Yahuwah, now make me happy, daughter. Let me get proud of you now. Living in our town, going 28:16. Come on.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 68. Verse 68 reads, and the Yahuwah shall bring thee, and the Yahuwah shall bring the Israelites into Mizraim, Egypt, which is a polluted word for Mizraim, again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again. And there you shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you.
Oh, God, I thought you were going to deliver me the knockout blow, God. Oh, God, I was pulling for you to deliver me the knockout blow. So, let me see if the young lion get a, deliver that verse. Yeah, God, I thought you were really just knock out the park that time. So now, I'm going to see if the young lion, because if the young lion messed up on it, then he got it. That's an offense against him. So let's see with the young lion. Now, we just got to take care of a lot of business now. So now, young lion in 2868, let's see, can you deliver a knockout blow? Or is you going to, you have to ante up and hit that middle box? You're going to buy it out right now. Because the young lion, you cannot make the mistake that daughter just got to make after we set it up.
28:68. Listen good. Listen good. Get the microphone on. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Listen good,
daughter.
Verse 58. Listen good,
daughter.
And Yahweh shall bring you into Egypt, meaning hard bondage.
Excellent. Excellent.
Again.
Hard bondage. So then it's up there, daughter Yahuwah. I got happy, daughter. And Yahuwah should bring thee into Egypt. What could Egypt mean to you? Hard bondage again. So you know now what it's talking about now. That's talking about the children of Israel, the one that's called Negro, African American, and Supercool. Because we the one came over here. What kind of bondage?
Hard bondage.
And here's daughter, now young man, he'll redeem himself, and Yahuwah shall bring thee into the land of Egypt, hard bondage, again, this time with ships. So now you clear that's talking about the
the one to call African Americans and Negroes. So when you can't go to any of these lands, all you know is hard money. You got 3 hours of sleep and 21 hours of work, and you were fed the inside of the pig, but they throw it away. All the outside of the pig dead, and you have the inside of the pig cooked. Hog maw, everything inside of gut, that's what they had you to eat. Now you don't find a way to have them put a sign up now that this is clean killing. They got a sign up now to go to some store and what's up chillin' right there? Oh, these clean chillin'. What do you mean they clean? Well, we had somebody look like you pick them in the back room and clean them up and put them back in a box and sell them to you for $99. Pounds, and you buy. Yeah. We in bad shape, daughter, but Yahweh prophesied right here, and he prophesied right here, and Yahweh should bring thee, you, the children of Israel, into Egypt, hard bondage again with ships. If that don't nail it, so all the camps around the world now you can finally read that right. With the precept of 14 chapters of Isaiah 1 and 3, and the precept of Exodus 1, 14 and 13, now you understand they're talking about you Israelites, the one called African American and Negro. So now you know how to read Deuteronomy 28 now. When you see the word Egypt, it means to you hard bondage. Back to the young line.
Hallelujah.
All right. Let's get a precept of Deuteronomy 26, verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 6. I go to precept of Deuteronomy chapter 26. Verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 6. Brother Nehemiah Israel. Book of Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 6.
Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 6. And the Egyptians even entrails and afflictions and laid upon us hard bondage.
Hallelujah, bro.
Excellent preacher. Read it again. Call out again for the national audience.
Deuteronomy chapter 26 and verse 6. And the Egyptians even entrails us and afflictions and laid upon us hard bondage.
They'll call you first out real quick for the national audience that from Nehemiah, the ministry speaking to them. Oh, it's good for them.
Deuteronomy chapter 26 and verse 6. And the Egyptians even entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage.
And who the up there? Who the up there? Who the up there? Give me a person that'll find out who the up is. Like we gotta find out who the up that got this hard bondage on us. That's called feeding a dead horse. But that's what we gotta do, feed the most. But we in bad shape. Who the up is? Let's read it. Let's find a verse that explains to the master and the audience who the up is. We need a verse.
Not what?
We need a verse somewhere to explain the who is the up. Who was the up that was put in hard bondage? So we need a verse there, Brother Nehemiah. So Nehemiah, remember, we're trying to enlighten the national audience. It's time for them to come out of this sleep. That when you call Christians, that is a byword and a proverb to you. That's hard bondage to you. So now we need a word about who is the up. This is Bible study class.
fast, bottom part of Sabbath day.
Right.
Let fire just get a word to find out who is the us.
That's right.
Come on there, y'all mind.
All right, go back to Exodus chapter 1. Look at verse 12. We get the name on who the us is. Go back to Exodus chapter 1. Look at that verse 12. We're going to read down.
Exodus chapter 1, verse 12.
To 14.
To 14. But the one day of fruit there, the one to multiply and grow. And they were grain because of the children of Israel. 13.
13?
And the Egyptians meant the children of Israel to serve with labor.
14?
14. And you made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in water and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they lived and served.
Call that verse out again. That was Exodus chapter 1, verse 12 to 14. We are one. Well, we got a name for who the us is real quick. Now, where we coming from? Now go back to who you was at. We was that before, so we got who the us is. We just put that in there. We got Exodus chapter 1, verse 12 to 14. You have a name. Now come back with that understanding. We just left off there. We're coming back. Now we got a name. Now you can put that in there. Remember, you got to have Exodus chapter 1, verse 12 to 14, right? We got the name right there in verse 13 and verse 12 as well, too. With that understanding, come back to the way you was at. So we got a name of who the us is. You can put the us. Children of Israel, right there. Go back to where you was at.
Deuteronomy chapter 26 to verse 6.
Uh-huh.
And the Egyptians who were entreated us.
Who was the us?
The children of Israel.
Who Yahweh, go ahead.
And afflicted us, the children of Israel, and laid upon us, the children of Israel, in our bondage.
See that there? They're not going to see that there.
That's right.
You see? So we're really going to get a name on that. They think us can be anybody.
That's right.
The us is the children of Israel.
That's right. Bring it out, young man. Now get happy again, man.
You see? That's who the us is. The children of Israel. Hard bondage. Even when we work, there's hard bondage everywhere over there.
Yes, sir. Well, give me a precept on that. Deuteronomy told you that you want to do some of that Deuteronomy. The soles of your feet do not get no rest. Now, let's pull that out. Let's read that. We said that online.
All right, let's get a verse. Let's go to the first book of the law, the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. We're going to book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. Let's see. All right. Going to put the Deuteronomy chapter 28.
What verse you need,
darling?
Come on, darling, get in there and go from there and put in there. What verse you need? That was already prophesied. It was going to happen to you. And you're going to be in this predicament of tolling the 1400s. What verse that dollar come on, y'all kick tag team.
All right, keep up at verse 65. Deuteronomy 28, verse 65. Mm-hmm. Glory to Yahweh Israel, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 65.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 65. Deuteronomy 28, verse 65 reads, and among these nations, Shall thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of your foot have rest, but the Yahweh shall give you there a trembling mind and failing of eyes and sorrow of mind. Verse 66.
Yeah, go ahead.
and thy light shall hang in doubt before you, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of your life. Verse 67.
All right, go ahead.
In the morning thou shalt say, would Yahweh it were even. Even. And at evening thou wilt shall say, would Yahweh it were morning. For the fear of your mind wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see.
Thou shalt see. All right, verse 68.
Verse 68. And the Yahweh shall bring the Israelites into hard bondage again with ships by the way whereof I spake unto you.
Hello, remember these words Egypt in there, then you bring in me, hard bondage.
Okay. And the Yahweh shall bring thee into Egypt, which is another word for hard bondage, again with ships by the way.
Hallelujah. That's how we made that verse there.
So Egypt is to us is what?
Hard bondage.
Hard bondage.
Hard bondage. That's all we think about. We did word Egypt in the Bible. To our forefathers, mother, it was hard bondage. We got our back beat. And he said, it's not going to happen to you again when you stop keeping my laws, statutes, and commandments, because you're going back and get your back beat again. And that's what we get rid of our back beat by calling us Christians. In African American, we get our back beat right now by answering to the term of being African American Christian. Back to the young man.
Who y'all from? All right. Now, Brother Nehemiah Israel. All right. Okay. Give me Exodus chapter 20. All right. Exodus chapter 20. Verse 1. It's two. All right, remember, hard bondage, right? Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 and 2. I'm pulling for you, Brother Nehemiah Israel. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 and 2.
Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 and verse 2. And the Yahweh spake all these words, saying, I am the Yahweh, thy Yahweh, which have brought thee out of the way of Egypt, which is high bondage, out of the house of bondage.
Okay. Let me read that verse. All right. All right. You read this verse real quick. All right, Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. Is how you read this verse here. And Yahweh spake all these words, saying, verse 2, I am Yahweh, your Yahweh, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of hard bondage. You see that there? I'm Yahweh. All right. Remember that, okay. All right, I'm going to see you in Daniel 7. Let's go to Exodus chapter 13 real quick. Exodus chapter 13, I'm going to put it up at 3. Exodus chapter 13, verse 3, for the Nehemiah Israel, seeing what?
Exodus chapter 13, verse 3. Chapter 13 and verse 3. And Moses said unto the people, Exodus chapter 13 and verse 3.
And Moses said unto the people, remember this day which you came out of Egypt and out of the house of hard bondage, for by the strength of the hand of the Yahuwah brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten.
This word, what it means?
And when your forefathers and mothers finally wake up, they're going to say, man, you mean y'all gave credit to that thing? That thing was hard bondage on us. We got our back beaten. Yahweh told us that we were going to run back into it by disobedience. And we didn't run out. Hard bondage. This time you're paying for any bills over here, that's hard bondage. But this is land that was given to your forefathers, given to Shem, but now you lost the land, and now they charge you for water.
Yeah.
And we still haven't figured this thing out. But it was prophesied that he's going to charge you for water. What can we read that at? Hey, Dolly, what can we read? Dolly,
Yahweh.
What can we read that we was charged? We're going to even be charged for water. What can we read that down in Lamentations chapter 1?
Yes.
What can we read that we will even be charged for water, daughter of Yahweh? What can we read that verse at in Lamentations that we don't even have to pay for water? They're going to charge you for water. And that was going on right now? You got to pay a water bill now? But it was prophesied that you have to pay for water. Now, what verse is that we can read in Lamentations chapter 1? What verse is that?
This Lamentations chapter 5. This Lamentations chapter 5.
Okay, chapter 5. Bring it up.
All right. Lamentations chapter 5. We're going to pick it up at verse 1. Lamentations chapter 5. Pick it up at verse 1. To verse 4. Lamentations chapter 5, verse 1. Glory to Yahweh Israel. Lamentations chapter 5, verse 1, down to verse 4.
Okay. Let me get there. Lamentations chapter 5, verse 4. Lamentations chapter 5, verse 4. Lamentations chapter 5, verse 4 reads, we have drunken our water for money. Our wood is sold unto us.
Lamentations chapter 5, verse 1.
Remember, O Yahweh, what has come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach.
Verse 2.
Our inheritance is turned to strangers. Our houses to aliens.
So who running our land today, according to verse 2?
Stranger.
Aliens and
strangers. Aliens and strangers. Yeah. Is it that? Verse 3. Us Israelites are orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are widow as widows.
Verse 4.
Us Israelites have drunken our water for money. Our wood is sold unto us Israelites.
Verse 5.
Our necks are under persecution. Us Israelites labor and have no rest.
So we gotta pay for our water for money. We gotta pay for the water now. See, but we as African American and Christian, that's the reason why we gotta pay for water right now. By being African American Christian. Back to the young line.
Alright, let's get a priest up. Let's go to the book of Baruch chapter 3. Go to the book of Baruch chapter 3, Brother Nehemiah Israel. The book of Baruch chapter 3. Book of Ruth, chapter 3. Book of Ruth, chapter 3.
Ruth, chapter 3, starting in verse 1. O Yahweh Almighty, Yahweh of Israel, the soul in anguish, the troubled spirit, cried unto thee.
Okay, skip down real quick. Skip down
like
That's not a DNA test for your forefathers. They're going to trace you back to an Israelite. That's why I use a word called ancestor.com. Back to the young mind. That's just another understanding. See, everybody's trying to keep you up on this curse. What you got for your mother? I can't hear you, mother. What's that? Somebody pass the microphone so you can be hollering that mic now. That's right. Now they get this word from the early part or some part of the book. Ancestors. They get it in the early part of the book. Or it's supposed to be forefathers. But in the early part of some part of the book around about Leviticus 26 there, mother. This is where they get it from right here. They get it from Leviticus 26. Mother, beat me up, Israel. They get it from Leviticus 26. This is where the word they get it from. Where they get it from?
Yeah, verse 45.
45. Read that, Mother D.M. Israel. Verse 45. Leviticus 26, 45. That's where they get it from.
Leviticus chapter 26, verse 45. But I will, for their sake, remember the covenant of their ancestors.
They wasn't gonna come and give it to their ancestors. Oh, he ain't gonna use precept now. He ain't gonna use precept now. Remember, the game changes precept. This covenant was given to who? See, your precept, Brother Deuteronomy 34, verse 27, 28. You precept the Bible. See who the covenant's given to when you precept the Bible. 34, verse 27, 28. You find out who the covenant was given to, and then you know what goes there.
What chapter?
Exodus 34. And we're going to look at Exodus 34, verse 27, 28. We'll find out who was the covenant given to. Yes, he was given to some ancestors.
Exodus chapter 34, verses 27 and 28. And Yahweh said unto Moses, write these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel.
And the children of Israel.
So
so the covenant made with who?
The children of Israel.
The covenant made with the children of Israel. That's where you get the ancestors from. Before it came back the same word, the children of Israel. So you see that? So that's who the covenant was made with, the children of Israel, not ancestors. He made a covenant with who? The children of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And we see where ancestors is only pointed to the forefathers of the children of Israel. That's very nice. So, what we're supposed to do behind that, Moses of Israel, 35 verse 1. 1 and 14. 1 and 14. What it say, Moses? 35, 1 and 14. Exodus 34, verse 1. And verse 4. Exodus 35, verse 1 and 4.
Bring the beans. They brought the what, Marty? What did they bring, Marty?
They brought money.
And it's done what?
What is it?
Uh-huh. So it again, mother? Let's run that down. Hey, daughter Yahuwah, let's run that down, daughter. 2 Kings.
Yahuwah.
Chapter 12. Daughter Yahuwah. Let's run that down. Verse 4. 9 through 11 and verse 16. Hey, daughter, let's run that down, daughter. Hey, daughter Yahuwah, let's run that down. 2 Kings 12. Verse 4.
2 Kings chapter 12, verse 4 reads, and Jehoash said to the priest, all the money of the dedicated things that is brought into the temple of Yahuwah, even the money of everyone that passeth the account, the money that every man is set at, and all the money that cometh into any man's mind to bring into the temple of the Yahuwah. Now, verse 9 through 12. 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 9 through 12. But Jehoiada, the priest, took a check and bored a hole in the lid and set it beside the altar on the right side as one cometh into the temple of the Yahuwah. And the priest that kept the door put therein all the money that was brought into the temple of the Yahuwah. Verse 10, and it was so, when they saw that there was much money in the chest, the king's scribe and the high priest came up, and they put up the bag and told the money that was found in the temple of the Yahuwah. Verse 11, and they gave the money being told into the hands of them that did the work, that had the oversight of the temple of the Yahuwah. And they laid it out to the carpenter and builder that wrought upon the temple of the Yahuwah. Verse 12, and to mason and hewer of stone.
16,
Second Kings chapter 12, verse 16. The trespass money and the sin money was not brought into the temple of Yahuwah. It was the priest.
Oh, trespass money. What about that trespass money again, daughter?
It was not brought into the temple of Yahuwah. It was the priest.
Okay, well, how do we get a trespass? How do we get a trespass? Let's see, our daughter. Leviticus chapter 4, verse 13, 20, and 22. It's kind of, how do we get a trespass? And those on the international side, examine yourself. Do you have a trespass over your head? Leviticus chapter 4, verse 13, 20, and 22. How do we get a trespass? Come on.
Leviticus chapter 4, verse 13 and 22.
13, 20, and 22. How do we
Leviticus chapter 4, verses 13, 20, and 22. Verse 13 reads, and if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Yahuwah concerning things which should not be done, and are guilty. Verse 20. And he shall do with the money as he did with. And he shall do with the bullock as he did with the bullock for a sin offering. So shall he do with this. And the priest shall make an atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them.
So we know you can't bring no bullock when you're saying, you know, we know that word bullock got to be a different word today. You did say it right the first time. So we know when we say it now against any of the commandments, we can't go bring no bullock and no turtle dove. So we clear about that. Verse 22.
And when the ruler have sinned and done somewhat through ignorance against any of the commandments of Yahuwah, his Yahuwah, concerning things which should not be done, and is guilty.
So if even the ruler, even if that, even the higher you get up, still applies the same thing. He got to bring a trespass off. It's against any other commandment. Any other commandment that you decide not to keep, according to what we just read. Did we read the word called any other commandment? Hey, daughter Yahuwah, did we read, or read it again in 4:13? Did it say any other commandment, daughter? Read
Leviticus chapter 4, verse 13. Leviticus chapter 4, verse 13 reads, and if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the congregation, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Yahuwah concerning things which should not be done, and are guilty.
So if you sin against any of the commandments, you are what again, daughter? Any of
guilty.
The commandments, you are what again? Guilty.
Guilty.
Guilty. According to what we read, if any of the congregation of children of Israel sin against any of the commandments, they are guilty. And what is sin against any of the commandments, daughter Yahuwah? 1 John 3:3-4. What are you talking about, daughter?
1 John 3:3-4. 1 John 3:3-4. Verse 3 reads, and every man that have this hope in himself, in him purify himself, even as Yahuwah is pure. Verse 4, whosoever committed sin transgress also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law.
Oh, so sin is the breaking of the law. So if you sin against any of the commandments, you're breaking the law. Let's go back to Leviticus, Mother dear of Israel, chapter 7, verse 1 and 7. Then slide right over to Leviticus 27, verse 31. Let's find out what to do now. Well, I'm confused. I didn't know if I didn't keep, if I break any of the commandments, I'm sinning. I didn't know that. I didn't know if I break any of the commandments, I'm sinning. And sin is the breaking of the law, that's the commandment. Now, where is that pulling that from, Mother? Leviticus chapter 7, verse 1 and verse 7. Where are you pulling that from, Mother? Leviticus chapter 7, verse 1 and 7. Let's read, Mother dear of Israel. Hey, y'all mind, turn my mic. Get me out. Give me a little something going on right here. Leviticus chapter 7, verse 1 and 7.
Leviticus chapter 7.
Leviticus chapter 7. Can you give me all the highs you get for a squeal? Leviticus chapter 7, verse 1 and 7.
Leviticus chapter 7, verse 1 and 7, of the DF Israel, the river. Tell me now a little bit, I'm still.
Chapter 28, verse verse 20. And Israel vowed a vow.
Right.
Saying
what?
If Yahweh will be with me and will keep me in this way, then I go. And I will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on 21, so that I come again to my father's house and leave. Then shall Yahweh be my Yahweh. 22. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be Yahweh's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee.
So that is the origin of this tenth conversation, okay? So now we're going to swing all the way up by Brother Titus in the book of Hebrews chapter 7. Now, when Hebrew was written, Yahweh the Son was back in heaven. So, let's see what it says. Let's see what it says in 15 verse 4, Brother Nehemiah, or Romans, 15 verse 4. Back up and go right over to 1 Corinthians 10 verse 11. We're going to see what mother said, will it hold up? Or will it Bible for them? We're going to find out. Let's see what it says in 15 verse 4 Romans. That's why I said, don't try to win no bumper guard contest. Always win the Bible. And go with the Bible. 15 verse 4, what does it say there, Brother Nehemiah? Or Romans?
Romans chapter 15 verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written to our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope.
So everything written aforetime when we read, if it's done away with, it's always for our what? What is for our what?
It's for our learning.
It's for our learning. So whatever we read back there in the beginning, it's not done away with, it's for our learning. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 11. Prefab. So it ain't done away with. It's for our learning.
1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come.
Oh, so they're written for our admonition. You know when you go to you get your ammunition, you go there. It's for you to hold up on. So the left side of the book is not done away with it. It's for your ammunition to hold up on it. If you go over to that book for today, look back at yesterday. So now, Apostle Paul made a profound statement in 14. It's all the Yahweh. It was Paul says in the 14th chapter. 24 verse 14 of the book of Acts. He says something. Let's see what he says, Dalai Yahweh. And the 24th chapter of verse 14. See, that's how the Bible operates. You know what that Bible do? You hear a statement written, then all of a sudden that spirit says, now, pray this out. Because if my person said, somebody else will say anything. Let's put some book on it and see the change in mind. 24:14,
the book of Acts, chapter 24, verse 14. Verse 14 reads, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call hearsay, so worship I the Yahweh of my forefathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the seers.
Ain't that something? Believing all things written in the law and the seers. So everything written back there in Leviticus, he said he believed all that's written. Read 7. You go to 26, verse 22. See, this is me. See, this is the game changer. See, when you make a statement in the seer head, 20 verses will come to the seer to put on the table. Because it ain't no accident. That was back then. Well, according to Paul, whatever back then is now. 26, 22. You want to know?
The same book, Acts 26, 22.
Acts 26, verse 22.
The book of Acts, chapter 26, verse 22.
Verse 22.
22 reads, having therefore obtained help of Yahuwah, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other thing than those which the seers and Moses did say shall come.
Shall come, huh? So he said, whatever Moses is talking about, he talking about it. Whatever seers talking about, he talking about it. Is that what we're reading here?
Hallelujah.
He said, whatever they're talking about, that's what he's talking about. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. Hallelujah.
Whatever they were talking about, he said he gonna talk about it. Is that what we just got to read?
Hallelujah.
Okay, if that's the case, Brother Titus, everything that they were talking about, he was talking about it. Okay, what did he say? In Hebrews chapter verse 2, he even had a this is Moses, he said he talking about everything he's talking about. Now, Pluto gave him the microphone. Let's see what if he changed and talked different than what they talked about. Hebrews 7, verse 2.
All right, book of Israelites. We're in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 2.
Give me a half of it.
Through also Abraham gave a tenth part.
Abraham gave a what?
A tenth part.
A tenth part. So why was, if it's done away with back then, why would he tell them that Abraham gave a tenth part? And talking about a tenth part, what Abraham gave. What did Abraham give then? Let's go see what Abraham gave then. Let's go back to Genesis and see what he gave. We're going back to Genesis and see what he gave a tenth part of. He said Abraham gave a tenth part, right? Is that what you have to read? Let's go back and see what he gave a tenth part of. What does he quote? We go on to the 14th chapter and see what does he quote that Abraham gave a tenth part of. Is that what we're doing? 14 verse 19 and 20. So what is he doing quoting what Abraham gave a tenth part of? Let's see. Genesis 14, verse 19 and 20. What did Abraham give a tenth part of? Let's see. Come on, that book, Titus.
Book of Genesis, chapter 14, verse 19 and 20.
Listen good.
Verse 19.
Listen good.
Bless him. And see. Tenth the April of the Most High Yahweh, possessor of heaven and earth. Verse 20. And bless the Most High Yahweh, which has delivered thy enemies into your hand.
Go ahead.
And he gave them tithes of all.
Oh, well, that's tenth part. What's another word for tenth part?
Tithes.
Now, why is he quoting Abraham gave a tenth part? And they already know the tenth part was because they had the understanding of the scripture. Because they knew the scripture like 3:15 of Brother Nehemiah. They knew the scripture, what kind of way? Of 2 Timothy 3:15. See, they knew. So he didn't have to say the word because he knew it. They knew they what? 2 Timothy 3:15. Come on, Brother Nehemiah.
3 and verse 16.
Yes. Take it too long, Brother Nehemiah. Come on now.
2
and 15. Oh, well, I'm
3:15. It says, and from that child, thou hast.
No, you ain't reading that right. Read it right, Brother Nehemiah.
2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. And that from a child, thou hast known the words of Scripture.
Oh, so a Saul knew that everybody was there, knew the righteous scripture from what?
From a child.
See, they knew that everything on the left side of the book was still good because it was continuation of right. He didn't have to say the word child because they knew. Because they knew the scripture. But right now, we say, but that was back then, that's gone away with it. See that? But he said, no, from a child they knew this. So Paul didn't have to say the whole thing there because they knew the scripture, what Abraham did. And what did Abraham do in 1920 again? 14, 1920, 50. What did they do again?
Genesis 14, 19 and 20. Genesis chapter 14, verse 19.
Yes.
And blessed him and said, thanks be Abram,
yes,
of the Most High Yahweh.
Go ahead and ring.
Possessor of heaven and earth.
Yeah, possessor of heaven and earth.
Verse 20.
What?
And bless the Most High Yahweh.
Go ahead.
Which has delivered your enemies into your hands.
Uh-huh.
And he gave them tithes of all.
So what's another word for tithes?
The tenth.
A tenth of all. See, interchangeable word. So why he quoted if it's done away with? So why is Paul quoting something that is dead? Huh? He ain't quoting because it's live. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 4. So why is Paul quoting something if it's no longer after y'all brought it back in? What he quoted about it? That's called dead works. He quoted to remind them from a child y'all do the scriptures. You know what you're supposed to do in the scriptures. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 4. Read it again, brother. Oh, well, not read it again, but read the next verse. Watch this now. Watch this, Brother D.F. Israel.
Hebrews chapter 7.
Look it up.
Verse 4.
Look it up.
Now consider how great this man was.
Now consider how great this man was.
Under whom even the patriarch.
Even a patriarch.
Abraham.
Abraham.
Gave the tenth part of the book.
Ain't that something? Ain't that something? So why is he reminding him to give a tenth part of his fall? If it's done away with, if it's by then, why is he even talking about it? Because he knew he's still on the books. And so when we go now, daughter Yahweh, hey daughter, so when we go and read Acts chapter 4, when we go and read Acts chapter 4, daughter, verse 34, 35, and 37. So when we read this, Acts chapter 4, verse 34, 35, and 37, if it's done away with, what are these people doing right here? Acts chapter 4, 34, 35, and 37. What you doing, daughter?
The book of Acts, chapter 4, 35.
The book of Acts, chapter 30, chapter 4, verse 34, 35, and 37. If it's done away with, what you doing here? What you doing?
Okay. The book of Acts, chapter 4, 34, 35, and 37. Verse 34 reads. Acts, chapter 4, verse 34 reads. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold. Verse 35, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Verse 37, having land, sold it. Ooh, that's terrible. The book of Acts, chapter 4, 34, 35, 37. Verse 35. Verse 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. 35. And laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Verse 37, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet.
Oh, wait a minute, daughter. If this got away with, and this got away with is back in the old, what they doing 34 again? This is real good, verse 34.
Acts chapter 4, verse 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold.
So, if it was done away with, why would they bring in anything, and what they supposed to bring, what was sold, was what again? According to Hebrews,
having laid,
verse 4,
verse 37.
What they supposed to bring that was sold according to Hebrews 7, verse 4. If somebody put out what they supposed to bring that was sold according to Hebrews 7, verse 4, what they supposed to bring unless they greater than Abraham? Let's see.
Hebrews 7 and verse 4.
Listen, God.
Now consider how great this man was.
Yes.
Unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoil.
Oh, so if anybody greater than Abraham, then you could pay it no never mind. Whatever was sold, the people would bring what?
A tenth.
A tenth of what was sold. In the book of Acts, y'all brought a song back in heaven. In the book of Hebrews, y'all brought a song back in heaven. So why would they bring a tenth of what they was, what they sold if it's done away with? Why are they doing this? Let's go to Acts 5:1, y'all, Yahweh. Let's find out. Now, it's always a scouting book somewhere. There's always a scouting book somewhere. Let's see if we find a scouting book in Acts chapter 5, verse 1. Now, the people knew exactly what to do. They knew if they sold something, take a tenth part out. But all of a sudden, here comes somebody else. There's always a scouting book for your learning is in the book. 5, verse 1.
The book of Acts chapter 5, verse 1 reads, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession.
And done
verse 2. And kept back the tenth part of the price.
Oh, his wife
kept back the tenth part of the price.
What? They gonna do what? Oh, I can't get nothing out of the crowd.
Kept back part of the price.
The problem is, all the way
I'm
down,
kept back
part
of the price.
They always be an Ananias. To do what? What did Ananias do?
Kept back part of the price.
What part of the price did he keep back?
The tenth part.
So there's always going to be somebody to keep back what?
tenth part.
So if it's done away with, let's see what's going on next. And the next verse there, if it's done away with now, like we heard earlier, that's back then. Let's see if it's done away with.
I'm talking about
those tasks. I was talking about the priest. Oh, priest office, it's still good, huh?
Acts chapter 5.
Hold that part. It was made. Let's get a priest up on that. Let's go to 7, 13, and 14. Let's see if the priest office is here now. Let's see if the Bible looks like that. Here we go, Marvin. Hey, Mother GFS, there you go. That's great. Maybe this Bible says fast anyway. 7, 13, and 14. Let's find out. If the priesthood is done away with, who reads it? Come on, darling.
Okay.
Hebrews chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. We go on to see if the priesthood has been done away with. Go find out right now.
The book of Hebrews chapter 7, verse 13.
And 14.
The book of Hebrews, yeah, chapter 7, verse 13.
I pop the book. That's what I do. Hebrews chapter 13 and 14. Come on, y'all, pop the Bible.
Hebrews chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. For he of whom these things are spoken pertain to another tribe, of whom which no man gave attention at the altar. Verse 14. For it is evident that our Yahuwah sprang out of Yahdah, Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood.
So Moses didn't tell you that the tribe, the priesthood of Leviticus will be changed, will be put in the hand of who? Who got the priesthood now, according to verse 14?
The priesthood.
Who? Oh, I didn't get that. Yahdah Judah got the priesthood now. Yeah, the village is done away with. But right now, the priesthood is in the hand of who? According to 14?
Yahdah Judah.
So that's who got the priesthood right now. Yeah, the village, you know why the village priesthood is done away with? Let's read that. Let's find out. Let's go to Malachi. Let's find out why the priesthood is done away with. Verse number 7.
But the priest lips shall keep knowledge.
The priest supposed to have the knowledge.
And they shall seek the law as his mouth.
And they're going to seek and they, the children of Israel, should seek the law in his mouth. So the children of Israel are going to look for the priest to find out what's going on. Where they lead? Why?
For he is the messenger of the Yahweh.
Because they are the messenger of Yahweh. So that's what you're supposed to do. But what happened in verse 8?
Verse 8. But you
are
departed out of the way.
But you have departed from the way.
You have caused many to stumble at the law.
You see that? And what happened, these elders, these princes, got the teachers fumbling all around because they have done what? Stumbled at the law. Go ahead.
You have corrupt the covenant of Levi.
So you have corrupt the covenant of Levi.
Says
Yahweh.
Verse 9.
Go ahead.
Therefore have I also made a contemptible of
and therefore I also made you
contemptible.
And what?
And base. Before all the people.
Before all the people.
According as you have not kept my ways.
Because you have not kept my ways.
And you have been partial in the
law. And you've been, otherwise, you've been brought along to get along. You ain't standing there because you want to make sure you can touch knees tonight. You do everything contrary to the word of Yahweh, and that's why you finished. It was prophesied you're going to be finished in 33 verse 7. First one, get it to the Deuteronomy. It was prophesied by Moses that you was finished. And Moses' day, 33 verse 7, who got it? Read it, come on.
The book of the law, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verse 7. And this is the blessing of Yahweh Judah.
Amen.
And he said,
what?
Here.
What?
Yahweh.
What?
The voice of Yahweh Judah.
Amen.
And bring him unto his people.
And bring Yahweh Judah to the people. It was prophesied that Judah was going to take over. He knew by calling in from the beginning the Levitical priesthood was going to defeat. Judah is in control. And that's why we're in control now is Moses.
Absolutely.
You can take it where you want to take it. We carried it. Judah got it. So the priesthood is in the hand of Judah. Is that what we're reading?
I want y'all to know.
So now, who do you think is putting the fingers on this guy right here? Is back to Acts chapter 5, verse 2. Who do you think getting ready to put the sentence on this guy right here? Who do you think this guy is right here? That knowing that was back there still standing right there. Acts chapter 5, verse 2. Who got it? Read it. Break out.
Acts chapter 5, verse 2.
Listen to it.
And kept back part of the price.
Kept back part of the price.
His wife also being privy.
And his wife knew about it too, go ahead.
And brought a certain part.
So they brought what they want to bring. They knew the law would take out 10%. They took out 9%. Go ahead.
And brought it to the apostles' feet.
And it brought to the apostles' feet. What did they bring to the apostles' feet? And both 37, whoever got it, ask, bring it to me. What they bring to the problem state? Acts 4:37. What they bring? How come I got the way?
Acts 4:37. Having land and stolen and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet.
Hey, they'll bring what? They'll bring what?
They brought money and
they brought money and put it at the apostles' feet. So this guy walked in with money and put it at the apostles' feet. Is that what's going on with you? Keep reading.
That's
verse 5.
Chapter 5, verse 1.
Now you're red side, man. Come on, y'all.
Verse 3.
Who is Peter? Who is Peter? That we can read. Who is he ready to read? Now don't get, go back. Who is Peter that we can read?
Acts 10.
Who is Peter that we can read? Who is Peter that we can read in Acts chapter 10? who is Peter that we can read? I want to read who Peter is. I want the national army to hear who Peter is that we can read. Huh? We're going to get it to the Acts chapter 10.
Acts chapter 10, starting
at
verse 25.
Who is he?
Peter was coming, and Cornelius met him,
yes,
and fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. 26.
Get on 28. Get on down to this. Verse 28.
28. And he said unto him, you know that it is an unlawful thing for man that is a Jew, which is a corrupt mouth of Yahshua Judah, to keep company.
So what is Peter's nationality?
He was Jew.
He was Jew. So who is Ananias bringing that money to him?
Judah.
Not Levi. Levi is finished, Mom. Sure, Levi is finished. But not Judah ain't finished. Because while Peter is from Judah, he was sitting there waiting on the offers to come in. Is that what we're reading here? In a 5:3? And Peter sitting? And then Ananias came in, dropped down his feet. Would he want to put down his Peter's feet? Is that what's going on with him? Isn't he from the tribe of Judah? Let's see what Judah do then. That's 5:3. Read it. Acts 5:3. What did Judah do?
Acts 5:3.
What?
So Peter said, Ananias, Satan fill your mind.
Oh, when you start holding back the price, who get in your head?
Satan.
When you start holding back the price, that's Satan tell you, you ain't got to kill what the Bible tells you to do. You just do it the way you want to do it. You heard it? Like I said, a baby can do it, just put it up to him. You know that old saying they got? Anybody can do it, a baby can do it, just put him up to it. So he says, why do you have Satan in your head? Now what did this verse start at? Help me out, Genesis chapter 3. Where is this coming from? Where is this coming from? Genesis chapter 3. Who got it? Verse 5, pick up verse 5. Who got it?
Genesis chapter 3.
Look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah comes the first
of it. For Yahweh does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened.
Right.
And you shall be as Yahweh, knowing good and evil.
Verse 4.
And the serpent said unto the woman,
what did it say?
You shall not surely die.
You're not going to surely die. So you ain't got to bring 10. See, just bring 5. You ain't got to bring 10. Just bring 5. Huh? Is that what's going on here? So now you know where that comes from, right? So that's Satan in your head. No, you ain't got to bring the 10%. Just want you to bring 6%. Just break the law. All I want you to make sure you don't do 10, because if you do under 10, you break the law, and that's good for him. He don't care what percentage it is. But that's Satan. Now, didn't Judah tell him that? What did Judah say in 5:3? What did he say again? What did Judah say? What did Judah say in Acts 5:3? What did Judah say?
But Peter said, Ananias,
what?
Satan filled your mind to lie to the righteous spirit.
He said, you lied to the righteous spirit. He said, why you let Satan get in you and lie and bring back what you want to bring? You know what the rules of the Bible is. Do you know what it says in Daniel chapter? Come here. Let's see now. I know his brother Nehemiah is talking some Bible now. You know what? And I like that. So in the book of Daniel, let's find out something he said in the book of Daniel chapter 11. He made a statement now. I like his Bible. I like that.
11:1.
11:1. That's good. That's good. That's fine. I just know Daniel 11. Unless one of you online will tell me what 11, what I want out of 11. What I want out of 11, when young lions are telling me. When young lions are telling me what they want out of 11. And the young lions are telling me in a minute what I want out of 11. Who was that nigga? Who was out there? Don't say that, no mind. Now what I want. What I want, I'm studying now with young lions. I need a statement. You know, I'm struggling with it now. I was struggling, and now who will help me out? Maybe tomorrow. Tomorrow's next week. She said, I help you. She said, can you do something? I help you, God. I help you. Look at even Jemiah said, look at Israel. Now I help you. Now see, that's what I like. I like that. See, tomorrow I'm gonna say, I help you. That's what you're saying right now. Now, in the book of Daniel now, I'm struggling. Now, who's going to have to go see out about what I'm struggling on now? Now, who will help me out? I'm struggling now. The old sin is struggling now because it's something we read in the book of 10, verse 21. What's in the half of it? 10, 21, in the half of it?
Daniel chapter 10, verse 21.
Half of it. What's it say?
But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth.
Oh, the scripture is what?
Of truth.
They ain't gone away with it. It's the truth. So the scripture is of the truth. It's not done away with. The scripture is of the truth. If you know what to do today, look back at the scriptures. Because the scriptures is what?
It's
the truth. Now, whatever that means, yeah, it got me out of my thoughts to go back to that Acts chapter 5 again. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 5 again. Now, we find out Peter is what? What is Peter is? What is it? His descent is?
Yeah, I'm
talking to you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. How about the precept on that thing? How about somebody else? Give me a precept on that. See, give me a precept on that. Give me a precept on that. Where are we going? Where are we going? What are we going to do? Preach up on that. Now, it says, he says he's Yahshua Judah. Can anybody bear witness what he says that we can read? What can we read a precept on him saying that he's Yahshua Judah? That somebody else is calling his nationality out. Now, what can we read to him now? I'm not in a Bible study class. Now, I like Bible study class. That's when you're popping that book with precepts. So now, what are we going on to get a precept on him being by somebody else calling him by his nationality? I give you a clue. Galatians. I need you a clue now. So Galatians.